Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Above the Bar podcast, where each week we belly up to the bar with a new guest, find out what they do, who they are, and what makes them great. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Alrighty, folks, welcome back to the Above the Bar podcast. It's your host, Sean. We are bellowing up to the bar. And see, I didn't even get to tell you this beforehand, Doc, so I have no idea how I introduce my guests. Everybody gets their own introduction. It's all completely off the cuff. So joining us is a world traveler, a woman of many talents, who has had a career that spans multiple locations, multiple options. She is going to teach us about a very, and I think it's interesting because it has a different term in America than it does in Asian cultures. She's going to teach us about tiger parents instead of helicopter parents. It's a very different kind of a vibe here. So joining us all the way, and I look, she's in one of my food destinations on my food bucket list, is joining us is Doc, how do you pronounce your last name? I didn't even ask you. Is it Liu?
Liu.
So joining us from Bollywood, she might be making movies. She's in Bollywood right now. It's Dr. Tony.
Hi, Sean. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. All right, my buddy Steven's already joining us. He was just over on our TikTok with us. We were talking about that. So we're going to get into it. I already got a question I got to ask you, because you are very involved in social media. You are the nomad cartoonist. You are all over the place. You've got some pretty wild careers. Let's get into some house cleaning real quick here. And then I got to ask you a question that probably has nothing to do with anything you do, but maybe it does. I'm just curious of your vibe on this and if this news has even made it to Bali yet. So as always, folks, over my right shoulder, we got the big board for Sticker and a Cause. And maybe you're a cartoonist. Maybe you've got a podcast. Maybe you've got other things that you want people to know about. You can reach me on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitch, X, Instagram, TikTok for now, for as long as that's going to be around here in the States. Even our email is theabovethebarpodcast@gmail.com. Reach out to me. Let me know what you got going on. I'll tell you where to send your sticker. We'll read all about it live here on the air. We put it on the big board. It's to share with you. It's so that this gets out, your message gets out to other folks so they can learn about what you got going on, because that's what we're all about here at the bar, is supporting each other. Now, Dr. Tony, we got to talk about our sponsors also. Have you ever heard, like, you're a world traveler, but have you ever heard of budget blinds?
I confess I haven't.
Oh, you haven't. Well, that's understandable. Very grateful. You're international, but it's really just Canada and the United States. And Canada's really like a suburb of the U.S., Like it's our little brother that we let come around with us, you know. It's like, hey, come on, Canada, you can come hang out with us. But that being said, folks, our sponsors are Budget Blinds of East Greenbush and Budget Blinds of Hudson and Cooksackie, New York. They are the number one window treatment company in the United States and in Canada, focusing on custom window treatments, shutters, motorization, you name it, they got it. They'll take good care of you. And if you let them know at Budget Blinds of Hudson in Cooksackie, New York, or Budget Blinds of East Greenbush that you're there to belly up to the bar, you heard them here on the show, they're going to give you a 15% discount off your entire order. Not just one shade, not just maybe we'll help you out with the entire order. So make sure you're reaching out to Budget Blinds of East Greenbush and Budget Blinds of Hudson in Cooksackie, New York. All right, Doc, can we rock?
Of course.
Let's do it.
Thank you, Budget Blind. Thank you, everyone. Thank you,
Budget Blinds. I like her already. She said, thank you, Budget Blinds. That made me very happy. So let's make sure I got all this correct here. And folks, you hear me referring to Tony as Doc Tony, because she is. She's the nomadic cartoonist who, are you still doing family physician, any medical stuff at all anymore?
It's been 2 years. I keep it around just
you keep,
in case.
You keep up on things? You know,
yeah, just
it's kind of a fallback career, you know.
No big deal. Whenever I go back to see my family, I'm like, oh, I'll just see, you know, I'm here in the States anyway. Let me do a little bit of telemedicine.
Do a little something.
Got, got to be on my terms, though.
That's a weird one. Like, hold on. Hold on. Because you were a guy, you're a licensed gynecologist. How does that work in telemedicine?
Good point. Actually, I was a gynecologist halfway through the training. So I did 4 years medical school, then 2 years gynecology, but then changed to family medicine. Because
okay.
I cared a lot about women's health, but I wanted to do it in a preventative way. I was like, oh, these major surgeries are crazy. Like, women already, you know, their health has already gone downhill to this point. Like, I want to be there, like, at the forefront to, like, help them not have that issue in the first place. So it's a little bit of a shift, but I still feel very much, it's like my identity has always been women's health, women's advocate, women's like everything. So yeah,
I think that would be a little weird to be doing telemedicine gynecology. That would be like,
that is weird.
Yeah. That would be like gynecology or telemedicine proctologist. Like, I don't know about that one. I don't think you can do that.
Yeah. That is so true. I mean, a lot of telemedicine, you do guide a patient through, like, touching their own belly, like, for the exam. So I'm just kind of imagining, like, no, there's no way that's not safe.
Yeah, no, that's
patient. Yeah. Here, do your own pelvic exam. Actually, okay, if I will say, my first inspiration for loving sexual health, like, I mean, not my first, but, like, one of the big imprints for me was in college. I went to a liberal, you know, hippy dippy Brown University college.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they had something called FemSex, which is like a semester long course, female sexuality course, not just for women, but mostly women. We had one guy in our group, it was like 20 people. And one of the assignments, it was so great because every week we'd meet, we'd talk for 2 hours about anything like related to, yeah, like a lot of it was sexual health or like sexuality. And one of them was like, the assignment was look at your own cervix. And at the time, I had never even used a tampon. I was like, oh, I can't do this. So they were so understanding. They were like, no problem. It's very empowering to look at your own cervix. But obviously, if you're worried about discomfort, we can find you a volunteer. You can look at her cervix instead. And I was like, yes. So I did my first exam before ever having any like trained skills to do it. I was 20 years old in some dorm room sweating bullets. I was like, is this woman really okay with me just like using this plastic speculum to look at her cervix? And she was like, it went great. Actually, she was like, afterwards, she was like, that was like one of the gentlest exams I've ever had. You're going to make a fantastic gynecologist one day if you choose to do that. Because I was already in med school. I was already in like the 8-year program, college and med school. So I kind of took that, I mean, as a sign, like, I'm spiritual now. I was originally atheist, but I was just kind of like, huh, yeah, okay, this is a skill of mine. But also, I was like, so cool, cervixes, empowerment, know yourself inside and out.
and Ray's over on Instagram. Doc, I'm not normally a speechless person. Not ever. You won. People don't get me speechless. For those of you that are joining us, that was a first. You win. I don't know what to say. I'm not normally speechless, but I just can't imagine. I can't imagine going into a class like that and somebody being like, you haven't seen your own? Come check out mine. Like,
yeah.
Come on. Like, that's just
same.
Just come on. Like, I couldn't imagine being in a class where they're like, hey, gentlemen, you know, is how you check for a hernia. Well, I'm not comfortable checking myself for a hernia and some other dude being like, come on, man, you can check my hernia. Don't worry about it. You know, you can see what mine's got going on. And Nate says, I've always got a smart ass remark. I do. I always do. So, and obviously, and a sex educator, you've done relationship coaching and speaking. You're an author. You host your own podcast called Accept Then Achieve, which I like that. I love the name. I want to know more about that. Leader of the Healthy Sensitive, and I'm going to pronounce this wrong, but I know what it means. Acceptation, which is if I'm understanding that right, that is part of Asian culture accepting themselves for their own value and their worth, because that's a big thing where you, oh my gosh, I got an A-. Why wasn't it an A+? I must be almost a failure in my life, because that's where we get into, you deal with, you know, high achievers, I got to ask you a question about one of these things here in a second, but you're a champion of mental health. What is AAPI? I didn't look that up.
Oh, no worries. A lot of people don't know. Just Asian American Pacific Islander.
Oh, okay.
That's just a term that they use a lot.
I guess I've never seen it written out that way, but I do know it, Asian American Pacific Islander. LGBTQ2IA, I can't get it all out. Women's empowerment. And then you've helped, you help work with high achievers, which I'm very, who's your big, I'm a big Brendan Burchard. I like Brendan Burchard. Growth Day. Mm-hmm. I definitely get into his vibe because he's very he brings a very religious tone to it. Tackling tiger parent aftermath. I want to get into that in a second because I think that is a cultural thing that is and it is too many letters for me, Nate. Like there's a lot of letters in that. That is something that's become that I think has crossed cultural lines a little bit. And we're starting to see it more in white households where we used to have the helicopter parent. You know what a helicopter parent is, right?
Yeah.
Now, definitely. Like, I guess, could we call them like Apache parents, like Apache TAC helicopter parents? Because they're like kind of like a tiger parent, but they're also a little bit of a helicopter parent. They just kind of do it all. But
yeah, I love that. Yeah.
Like, we got to figure out there's got to like an attack helicopter parent. Like, there's got to be something in there. But all these different things, you've got an amazing career. You're in Bali right now, which, listen, I watch all the travel food shows. Bali is way up on my list for eating, but I'm scared of the street food. Like, I want to eat it, but like, I don't know if my guts can handle it. Like, how bad is it good, Doc?
It is good. I mean, I'm not, you know, I have different gut flora, so it's been lucky. Yeah. You can take, just bring antibiotics with you, you know, if you make the trip, just in case. Be just prepared. That's my motto.
Just be prepared. All right. So before we get into everything that you've got going on, because I'm loving every bit of this conversation already. And look, folks, if you're just popping in here and you're just seeing Doc and I, please make sure that you go ahead and you take a moment. Share this out to all your channels. Share it out to everyone. Let's get that message going. Let's see what's happening here. I don't know. One of these bots just got me. Let's see. Can I get rid of you later? But so here is my question before we get started. So do you spend any time on TikTok, Doc?
I don't. I already had Facebook and Instagram and YouTube. Wait, a little bit of YouTube and a podcast and LinkedIn. So okay. I feel, and I'm doing it all myself still, but I'm looking for, if you know anyone, a good social media marketer manager who can do that. Cause I heard TikTok uses a different algorithm. Everyone's on there. So I'd love to also get on TikTok, but currently not.
Well, did you hear here in the States that Congress moved on a bill to the Senate to ban TikTok in the United States?
Oh my gosh, I did not hear that. That's right. Crazy.
I'll tell it to you. I'd love to hear your vibe on it then. So as you're just hearing it, so basically the bill would ban TikTok in the United States because their feeling is TikTok is owned by a Chinese run company that has affiliations with the Chinese government, which if anyone knows how that works, the Chinese government has the right to tell a company, this is what you're going to go ahead and put on there, whether you like it or not. And that's what's going to be on there. And now here's where it gets weird. All of Congress passed it. It's going to the Senate. The Senate is probably going to pass it. Biden has already said he's going to sign it. So it's going to get banned. We're going to be done with TikTok here probably soon.
Oh my God.
But guess who's fighting against it? Trump.
All the TikTokers. Trump.
All the TikTok. Interesting. All the TikTokers are fighting against it, but Trump is fighting against it because they said on the news today that if TikTok would get banned, it would push all of that media back over to Facebook because Facebook has Reels and all those things. And Facebook is who banned Trump during the last election.
I see. Okay. So he's doing it out of personal interest.
Interesting. Isn't it interesting though? but yeah, but they're looking to push them out. So I was like, so what do you think about that? I mean, you're over in Bali. Like it's not even a conversation over there.
Nope. I mean, I talk with plenty of foreigners. I guess it's more an international crowd. I went to a women's circle yesterday. Of the 20 people, there was only one other American there. Really? So people were all over. It's like everyone was from a different country. It was really cool. So I guess, really, yeah, we don't talk about politics.
So you really, really are a nomad. You really are
really a nomad. I am a nomad. Yeah, so, it's been 5 years being a nomad. Yeah.
Now, what was that like with COVID then?
I happened to be in the U.S. near my family at the time. So I took a break during COVID for about a year. Was it a full year or at least half a year until the vaccine came out? And then I continued nomading. But I stayed in the U.S. to nomad around the U.S. a bit. I was in Colorado, Las Vegas, Washington, Oregon, California. So I think I was still like, ooh, I want to be responsible, but I also want to continue living my life just in case this lasts forever. But for a good solid, when it first came out, a good 6 months, almost like, yeah, 9 months, I just stayed in New York where my family was. And yeah, just continued to explore online. You know, like I realized, I was like, oh, I thought I had to have all of this crazy external stimulation with travel. I mean, it is great for me. It inspires my work, especially my art and my creativity. But also I'm like, wow, I have a rich inner world. If I stay put in one place, I'd be okay. No, like I'm always coming up with creative ideas and I love finding meetups and activities wherever I am. So yeah, but true nomad. And I'd love to continue this lifestyle, I think, for the rest of my life. I mean, even I want it all, right? I want kids too, but it's like people world school their kids and travel with their kids. So I'm just like,
that's a thing.
Yeah, world school?
What is
it? It's a thing.
What is that?
Yeah, it's a kind of, it is technically a form of homeschooling, but it's part of the like unschooling movement. So yeah, people just learn with their kids. They have a whole community that like kind of teaches you how to educate your kids. I think it's great because you encourage the kids to love learning and you don't force them to jump through external hoops at a school system just to like, you know, again, going back to my message, like proving your worth. Like, no, because that's how so many people hate school, hate learning. By the time they're adults, they're like, I'm done. I'm never going to do this again. I'm someone who always liked lifelong learning, but it's like, you know, I see so many people that it happens to. So I'm like, no, this is great. Like if I world schooled my kids, mom and dad or mom and kids, like we would learn for the first, I don't know, 4 hours of the day, 5 hours. Then afterwards it's like, okay, yeah, let's play in the afternoon. Like this is what a balanced life looks like. This is not like work yourself to death 8 hours a day, go to school for 10 hours a day, as in some places. So yeah, that's very lofty, but that's my goal.
Nate said he'll help you out with your social networking. And if you make it to Montana, I'll introduce you to my Aunt Eileen. She'll help you out with expanding your mind, if you know what I mean. She'll help you get your mind expanded a little bit.
You know what I'm saying? Thanks so much.
Now I gotta ask you a question. Now, so I'm gonna take a shot in the dark based on your work with people who have tiger parents. And do you wanna explain to folks what a tiger parent is?
Yeah, sure. Tiger parent is, you know, the umbrella term, the technical psychological term would probably be authoritarian parent. Just, you know, someone who is kind of close to a tyrant, like they think they know best. They're kind of bossing you around. Out of fear, they're trying to control you because they think you won't be safe without their instruction, their guidance. But they also have super high expectations of you, very rigid, like you have to fit into my box or else. And sometimes they can use, I mean, everybody reacts differently. Sometimes they use kind of like very harsh verbal like criticisms. I've been called so many things, a loser and a failure and disgrace to the family. I mean, even now still, my mom is still like this lifestyle. She calls me a homeless hobo. It's like crazy.
Like I'm listening to this thing, like the rest of the world would look at your life and be like, that's so cool. You've kind of like owned who you are. You're in it. You're still well educated. And at any moment you could truly just kind of, you could take one step to the left and be like, okay, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to use my medical degree and I'm good at any moment. And your mother still comes at you like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Bonkers. Yeah, because I'm not fitting into any of her traditional boxes. She's like, you need to be married, you need to have kids by now. I'm 35. And she's like, you need to have one place that you live. That's it. You have to have a house and a brand name car and brand name things. And you have none of that. Like, she doesn't value or understand, like, really, like, the first thing she said when I told her I was traveling the world, she's like, how dare you do this to me, is what she said. I was like, that summarizes our relationship.
Now, is your background Japanese or Chinese?
Chinese. So I was
So that fits more into what I think of when I think of a tiger parent and what I know of the term. Wow. So now, how long did it take? I'm very curious about this, and I know this is a big part of what you do. With this, how long did it take you to realize that you were living, I don't have a better term in my head right now, under the regime of a tiger parent?
A long time, because you don't know it when you're in it, right? You're just like, oh, of course. Like, I want to make my family proud. Yeah. It's so interesting. It's like, it's got so many parallels to, the people who are being abused and they don't know it. And it's like, they're being gaslit. It took me about 25, when I was 25 or 26.
Oh, wow.
It took me a long time. Like, yeah.
You was a grown person.
I was. So,
Took a while. Now, because of where'd you grow up here? You said you grew up in New York?
I did, yeah, Long Island mostly.
Okay, Strong Island. All right, the other Strong end of the Island. State. Other end of the state. I'm up in the capital region, so.
Okay, cool.
So I'm in the field trip area where everybody field trips. Yeah, Albany, where everybody's going to do their at least one field trip up here.
Yes.
So, being in the community you were in, was it a large Chinese community?
It was fairly, I guess so. Maybe my high school now that I went to is 60% Asian or South Asian. So that's quite a bit. I think when I was there, maybe 30 or 40%. But yeah, everyone was like high achieving. Everyone
that was gonna be my question.
Trying to get great grades, well rounded. Oh, a tiger parent also, people should read that book, like, about the tiger mom, Battle Hymn of the Tiger Mom. And she's like, I send my kid to, you know, 8 different after school activities when they're only 5 days in the week. And it's like crazy. So it's like you wanting you to be the best that you could be. And it's all for your own good. So yeah, there was a lot. Like, I had 6 after school clubs I was a leadership position in.
Really?
In the 5 days a week. Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes I'd be running from one, and I was captain of my badminton team. Yeah, I did a lot. Like, I was at the time, it's like, oh, I just thought this is what you have to do. Like, you have to do this to have a good future, to get into a good school, to get a good job. But I always wanted to be an artist. That was never encouraged. It was always from the very beginning, just like, oh, that's nice. I'll never be a real job. Like, what are you going to do for your real job? And they were like, oh, you got to be a doctor because that's the best job. So it was always like, you know, indirectly and directly groomed or like hammered into me, really. They're like, yeah, you're going to apply to medical school, right? Like, of course. I feel like every Asian child probably is like told, like, oh, at least try out pre-med. You don't know if you'll like it until you try it. So they try to
try out pre-med.
Yeah, just try it out. Just try it out. Like, if you can do it, do it. If not, okay, then fine. Like, you know, grumble, grumble. You can pick something else.
Because I guess you're not be cut an out. Engineer or something.
Yeah, or a lawyer, like.
But it's interesting to me because the first thought that came to mind, the reason I asked about that area of Long Island, because I've only ever been to Garden City down there, because that was where, when I was in the Marine Corps, that was where our unit was headquartered at, was in Garden City. Stupid expensive on Long Island. Stupid expensive.
It is.
Did you notice the highest bachelor allowance for housing for the government in the entire country is Long Island? Number 2 is San Francisco.
Seriously? Oh, wow.
100%. Okay. So it's more expensive on Long Island for bachelor allowance for housing than it is in San Francisco. And it's not a huge difference, but it's higher there. But what I was curious of is, what was this a cultural thing to have tiger parents? You said most people were high achievers, so you had a lot of tiger parents. So do you think that made it harder for you to recognize, until you were older and separated from that environment, to realize, like, oh crap, this is what's going on?
Definitely. I would say, yeah, there were a lot of
Do
who
you think mom's
also.
watching us? Do you think she's watching?
She might be. Oh my
Did you
gosh.
share the did you
I've
send her the
learned.
link? Did you send her the link?
No, I don't
Send
send
your
them the
mom the
link.
link.
I let them.
You should send your mom the link. I would love to talk to your mom. Your mom would love me. Moms love me. She would love me. She'd be like, "Oh, look at him. He got his own show. He great. He own
That's
his own
true. He
business.
making a lot.
He got his own
Yeah.
business. He great. What are you doing? You traveling? You got no house? Oh."
Oh, she recently said that to me. She's like, "Oh, your classmate's so successful. She's dean of your school," because she invited me to give a speaking gig, right, on mental
Right.
health to their engineering students about how to like keep your sanity. And I told her about it. I was all excited. I was like, "Well, yeah, they're paying me several hundred dollars for this. This is so cool." And she had nothing to say about that. She just immediately said, like, it's a comical really. She's immediately said, like, "Your friend's already a dean. She's so successful. What are you doing with your life?"
So like
This
mom,
was
like no
last
matter
year.
what, mom doesn't hear anything else. It's just this. So how did that affect you? Because I mean, again, and folks, Doc Tony maybe have to be one of my new best friends, because I just her story is just absolutely, we haven't even scratched the surface here. And I'm like, you know what it reminds me of is and this is the only thing I really have to gauge it off of, because I've seen a lot of tiger parents before, but mostly helicopter parents, because I think of helicopter parents. And you know what that is. And if you don't, folks, helicopter parent is that parent that, you know, little Johnny, little Susie, they don't even start to fall over, and they're like, "I got him, I got him. You can't go nowhere." And they're feeding them, like, "Let me feed you all the best things. You can only eat organic grass-fed left-handed cows that move only in the evenings. Because I read one time that these make for smarter children." While at the same time, the kids in the backyard setting the entire garage on fire because they can't get out of that box. It's like another form of it. So as you're moving through this, and you know, some people would tell you, "Well, Doc Tony, come on now. You've got a PhD in medicine. You're able to be confident enough to travel. If mom didn't do all these things, you never would have been there." They would almost say that. How do you react to that when other people say to you, or even do they say to you, like, "Yeah, you're talking bad about that, these things, but if it wasn't for that, you could never be here." How do you feel about that?
Actually, I've not had that comment said in that
Okay.
way. People have been very kind and understand. They were just like, "It sucks you went through a lot, but your greatest wound is your greatest gift, and this is what came of it." I'm like, "Yeah, thank you." But nobody was like, "Oh, you wouldn't be where you are if that hadn't happened." Because I think if she had been the kind of, healthy, understanding, non-narcissistic parent, like, it was just like, "Yeah, you can do it. Like, you love art, like, try it out, sweetie." I would have went to art school, I think, and maybe like gone on a more direct way. Like, I would have maybe, I don't know, I don't think fashion, like graphic design, would have been my thing. I think I would have just found, like, yeah, like maybe like an artist company. I always wanted to work for Disney. I thought that'd be cool. And then maybe I would have been like, "Oh, this doesn't allow me to travel." And then I would have found a remote job or freelanced art, and I was like, "Great, I would do this." I don't know about the sex education piece, though. I think I probably would have found that anyway, because I loved fem sex and brown. So that, I think I'd be, I don't know. I mean, you never know, right? Like, I can't go back and
Justin,
change. But I think I would have
you've
started earlier. Thank you.
already won as one of the best guests. That is a story that I'm like, I just can't. Again, going back to that, folks, if you haven't listened to the beginning of the show and you're just joining us, you're gonna have to rewind and listen to the beginning of that and hear Dr. Tony's story, because that's just one where I'm like, "Oh, okay, all right." I mean, you want to go ahead and check that out for me? If you need, I got you covered. Like, that's just wild to me. So now I'm gonna. So how do you? And I think as you're talking in your travel, I thought about one of my favorite quotes. It's a Mark Twain quote. Can I read it to you real quick? Mark Twain said,
Absolutely.
"Travel is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness, and many other people's need and sorely on their account. Broad, wholesome, charitable views of men and things cannot be acquired by vegetating in one little corner of the earth all one's lifetime. And I think about, you're telling me you were trying to be held in that vegetative sector and you expanded out. When you expanded out and you went to brown, obviously that just changed everything. Like that, fuck, I don't even, that changed everything. But how did that help you in your path to where you are now as the nomadic cartoonist? How did all that change and get to where you are now? Because I feel like I'm all over the place talking to you, because Dr. Tony, I was excited to talk to you because I was like, this is going to be cool, because she's got a lot of cool, cool stuff going on. But I am absolutely just, I don't even know where to go. You've got me. You won. You've won. This is one of the coolest stories I've heard in a long time. Get it, Dr. Thank Tony. You. Go.
Oh, thank
this
you.
Is all you go.
I don't even know. Hey, so are you asking like how travel affected me and helped?
I'm asking like, how do you go from hyper tiger mom to helping people through that path to where you are today with travel?
Yeah, I don't know what came first, right? I think I always loved to travel. Like, you know, we went back to see family in China growing up every few years. I studied abroad in Japan. I love my style of cartoon is like the Japanese anime manga style. I'm still trying to publish. I have this idea for, I don't know, 5-10 years already. I love to publish it one day about, yeah, like many things like women's empowerment, issues that teenagers face in the guys, not the guys, but like a badminton club. That's basically the plot for that. But the travel, yeah, studying abroad in Japan, I really wanted, so before medical school, I wanted to take a gap year or two to go teach English in Japan and be abroad and have that experience. But again, the parents were just like, you know, kind of implying, or my mom, really, it's just my mom. My dad's more reasonable, thankfully, but still he just never stands up to her. He takes her side all the time. So not really,
is that typical within Chinese culture? Like a lot of men are like, or at least when they come to the States, because they're, you know, you see it, you know, satired on TV, but I don't know how real that is.
Ooh, I mean, I think it depends on the couple, but it could be. I mean, you know, it's like happy wife, happy life, I think.
Right.
Is that term that's thrown around. Yeah. So anyway, they were just kind of, she was kind of implying that I interpret as they'll disown me, they'll kick me out from the family. She's like, you go into medical school straight, like, you know, we'll help you out and it's good. But if not, don't expect a single thing from us. And I'm just like, what? Like, Brown will wait for me for up to 2 years. Like, why is this a problem? But I didn't have the guts really. Like, and you know, growing up with tiger parenting, it crushes your self-esteem. It's like, I had to change something because I was in such a bad place. It's like crippling self-doubt, questioning every single decision, thinking like calling myself a loser and crap and like worthless. I've been so mean to myself in the past. And sometimes I still slip back and I'm just like, wait, no, I'm a winner. I'm not a loser. Like no matter what happens. But anyway, it was just, so travel was always a part of my life. I loved, as you said, like seeing other cultures, like it just like makes you like look at your many problems that people worry about. I'm like, this is not a big deal. Like, come on. There's like we're so fortunate. I mean, I feel so fortunate to be an American. Like, I just seems like I have so much privilege and these people are starving. And it's just like, what can I do to kind of equalize or like make things better? And so I just, yeah, I think I love another quote. I forgot who said it, but it's like, those who travel read the whole book, but those who don't only read one page. So it's like, yeah, this is humanity. Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, not that we have a moral obligation to travel, but I was just like, yeah, it blows my mind when some people are just like, yeah, I never left my town. I never left my state or my country.
I never left my town.
What, like, aren't you curious to see what's out there? No. And I'm like, okay, maybe you're someone who like the education system crushed out your natural curiosity. I'm not sure. So I don't know what came for, like, the travel, the creativity. Wait, what was the question? Sorry.
I'm just going with too. Everything you're saying at this point, because I'm loving every bit of it at this moment. So where I was kind of going with all this is, so you've got all this, you realize, okay, I'm getting into the medical field. You said you practiced for a couple of years, mm-hmm. and then it was like when you finally realized, okay, I'm breaking away from this and I'm going to start the traveling piece. Was that when the cartooning started, or what came with that travel piece?
I see. Yeah.
Travel with you. You can take Cody. Cody is a good friend of mine. She will travel all over the world with you. You can have the biggest hippie that I know. She will leave tomorrow. She's trying to figure out how to get elephants back together to make out in India or something like that. She understands it. I don't, but you can have Cody. What came next? So we're moving out of being a physician. What came next?
I guess it was both simultaneous at the same time. I prepared for it. So I hit, as I said, I realized, oh my gosh, this is terrible. I welcome travel buddies. Thank you. Yay.
She used to draw a guinea pig. I have no idea what that means, but go ahead. Why do you want to draw a guinea pig? I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
You have to explain
that. Anyway. So I was preparing for it because it's like when I was 25, 26, somewhere that I was in my first, my gynecology training, and I had gone, you know, been a good, obedient Asian daughter and gone straight into medical school. Cause I was like, I don't want to be outcast and disowned from the family or like divided.
Right.
I thought probably she didn't mean it, but I never was really sure because my mom also locked me out when I was 16 and I came back just a bit after curfew, which was sundown. And I'm just like, and then my dad had to unlock the door. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was kind of like, ooh, I think she'll mean it if she's like, actually like, okay, you're going to cut you off, disown you. I mean, I don't really know. Like, she's the kind of person that I'm kind of like, she would do it even just out of spite. Anyway, so I was like, nope, not going to risk it. Went straight in. And then I just couldn't do it. I got increasingly burned out. Like, I finished medical school. My medical school advisor was like, Tony, do you really want to be a doctor? And I'm like, yes, yes, I think so. And it's like nervous wreck the whole time. And then it's like, and then, you know, in gynecology, I was just like, again, it's like the self-doubt, like the question, like, did I make the right decision for this patient? Oh my God, like, but patients' lives are on the line. Like, how can I do this? So I had a really like terrible burnout rock bottom moment where I was just like, I feel trapped. I feel like, well, I don't want this life, but I don't know how to say no and leave it, like, of my own free will. It's like, I don't want to lose the love of my family. I mean, honestly, like, and I went skydiving at that point, not like on purpose, like a friend was going. So I was like, you know what? I never thought I'd consider this, but I literally have nothing to lose. And because I was like, I wouldn't even care if something happened to me, because then I'll have like an acceptable escape from.
That's what I was going to ask you. Was that what that was like? Like, hey, I'm going to go do this. And if the chute doesn't open, at least I don't have to deal with that anymore.
Yes, that's exactly my thought.
It's one of those weird, like, I don't want to commit suicide, but at the same time, a crippling injury, you can't bother me anymore.
Right. It's like,
oh, I understand it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a messed up place. Yeah. So, that's when I realized, like, okay, I need to get help. So, like, I was just trying to push through and be strong all on myself. But yeah, at that point I was like, I think I need to leave medicine, but like, how on earth? And then I talked about it with my family. That was like the start of several, like, yeah, really exhausting, explosive conversations. And they were like, maybe it's the wrong field. Maybe just try something else out. And so that's another reason I applied. And like, I was like, okay, yeah, I'll try family medicine. Maybe it was just the stress of
Right.
Like the stress of the high stake. Cause I was doing surgeries. I was doing C-sections.
You were in there
as a gynecologist. I was in there. Yeah. But I was like, this is really fun because I played video games growing up. So I had like hand-eye coordination and I love sports. So I was like, this is great. Like, I actually have a skill for this, but I'm like, I'm just the kind of person, I'm already hard enough on myself. But like, if someone got hurt because of my decision, I'm just like, I feel like I couldn't live with that guilt for the rest of my life. Like, you know, it just would be really hard on me. So I thought, okay, better for a lower risk field anyway. But at that point I also knew, like, okay, I need to start planning for an escape plan of some sort. Like, I got really scrappy and frugal, you know. I mean, I still lived life, but I was like, I'm saving up for my freedom here. And then, like, I had read about other nomads and other people who were living and working online from blogs, and I never talked to them, but I was like, if they can do it, I can do that too. And like, why can't I be an artist? So I was just like, so I saved for, you know, I worked as a doc for like 5 years, half like with the training. And then as soon as I graduated my family medicine training when I was 30, I was like, all right, I'm leaving. I booked a one-way ticket to Spain to start off. And oh, I was Spain like, yeah, I'm gonna do this. Yeah. And I made my blog. I tried travel writing. I tried made my Fiverr and Upwork accounts for art and just went for it. So they kind of started at the same time. And in hindsight, yeah, it's hard to start multiple things at once. So I probably would have done one thing first than the other.
Well, that's at six clubs in 5 days leadership coming out in you. You know, you had it going.
Yeah.
Do you want to read what Cody said? I can't even.
Vaginas can be terrifying.
Yes. I think that is a t-shirt. That is your t-shirt right there of why not to become a gynecologist. And she also, though, now I understand the guinea pig. She has a guinea pig named Hodgepodge, and she would like to talk to you about being the cartoonist of the Adventures of Hodgepodge, the guinea pig.
Oh, how cool.
And listen, yes, is that check. Not like a Japanese thing, like to do a guinea pig with the big eyes? What's that style where they like look overly cute? Like it has a name to it. Do you know what I mean?
Moet?
Talking about? Is that what it's called?
Maybe it's Moet. Chibi.
Chibi. That's it.
Yeah.
It's all over Disney. Yeah. Disney's got like a whole thing with it.
I love Chibi. That's my default style. I'm just like, oh, so cute. Yeah.
Not manga, Chad, you goofball. Goof. So you decide you're going to go out on this adventure. You're headed out there. When did we start getting into your own podcasting and working with people with the Aseptasian, you know, that whole movement? When did that all start getting into this?
Well, so it's pronounced exceptions, like a play on words, like, hey, we're exceptions to the rule.
Okay.
There's no extra A. But acceptations is great too. I know people have, I'm flexible.
Okay, look,
you want to pronounce it.
What's the right way to, no, correct me. I'd rather you correct me and be right. So what's the right way to pronounce it?
Oh, it's called exceptions.
So it's just exceptions. It's just, okay, but it's, okay, I'm got it. That whole reading
spelled differently.
Okay.
Yeah. So like being an exceptional exception.
That
started in 2019, actually, just 6 months into traveling, I had the idea for it. I was like, you know what? I think it'd be really great to support other people in some way, like even just a community, knowing that there are people who are daring to break out from the mold of like a traditional life, like being an exception, but also like being an exception to the Asian culture of, filial piety, being, you know, what was soft-spoken and submissive and kind of like always listening to other people. It's like, no, these are actually some toxic customs that have been passed down. Like, let's question them if they actually are healthy or not. Let's not just like keep passing it on generation after generation. So it was like with that in mind that I just started it. And back then Facebook was more popping. Like now the algorithm sadly has gone down. So the group isn't as active anymore. It's more, but back then it was like, we had monthly events. I had like three other admin team members. Yeah, it was really fun. And I think it helped people feel less alone. And it's still here now. There's all of the content and everything. I've made workbooks, I've made videos. There's just a lot on there. And I never thought about using it to become a coach, actually. I didn't hear about coaching until like 6 months after that. I was like, okay, this is what, I don't really know what a life coach is or just what are all these coaching industries. And then like relationship coaching, I was like, you know what? I think everything that I do relates to someone's relationship with themselves. And also I was like, because of my unique experiences, I really care about helping people to like just find more peace within themselves, also with their family members. Like you went through this whole spiel, like you, how can you get over like and forgive? And just, I had a lot of resentment towards my parents for a while, but then like I just feel like I can understand where they're coming from truly. It's like they grew up in a crazy time when it's like you needed the stability, you needed the steady paycheck, and they were they were bullied or discriminated against as immigrants in America.
Oh, yeah.
Their accent, things like that, they were just like, you have to be a professional in order to be respected. So yeah, and I know it's like they just wanted me to be safe, so it's like, how can I hate them for it?
It's interesting though that you're seeing the other side of it as you've gotten older. Not that you like what they did, but you understand that logic of what it was. That's very interesting. And folks, if you're just joining us, we're getting close to closing the bar up here soon. But, you know, check out what Dr. Tony's got. You can find her on LinkedIn. It's Dr. Tony, T-O-N-I. And then Lou, L-I, am I pronouncing it right? L-I-U-E. Is it Lou? Mm-hmm. Fix me. It's Lou, oh, right?
Yeah, Lou is good.
No, don't tell me it's good. Look, Cody, Cody gets on me because I can't pronounce anything. I'm horrible that way.
You're fine.
I'm a true mid-Atlantic Baltimore accent. I read things the way it's written. It's bad. But, you know, look, here she goes. Look, see, here we go with pronouncing. I can't pronounce anything. It's bad. But make sure you check out with Dr. Tony. You can find her on LinkedIn. She's got great content. If you're looking for a traveling cartoonist, she's there. Look, no, he is not fine. It's rough. It is absolutely rough. Make sure you see what she's got going on. See what she thaw. Thank you to her, Cody. What she's got going on. But so what has been your experience with the travel locations? Is there some places you go to and you bring, you know, you bring the podcast with you, you're bringing the, you know, you're welcoming to these communities that in some of these countries, they have to be outliers. Like you're in Bali right now. I don't know personally what the feelings in that area is. You know, I'm trying to think, God, I'm trying to get all my cultural stuff in my head. Bali's fairly Muslim, isn't it? Or is it Hindi?
Bali, Indonesia is Muslim, but Bali is Hinduism.
Okay, so it's more Hindi. Island, yeah. Hindi, yeah. In that area. I lived in, as crazy as it's going to sound, when I lived in Lansdale, Pennsylvania, it was mostly, here's one for you, that is mostly a lot of Gujarati and Punjabi. Huge Gujarati and Punjabi populations. So I learned all these different things. I knew more Patels than you could shake a stick at. We would go through the list of calling kids and there would be 5 to 6 pages of a graduating class that everyone's last name was Patel and they probably weren't related to each other. So when you get to places like that, and here you are as somebody who's championing people who have had tiger parents, but you're also championing mental health, LGBT community, women's empowerment, which in a lot of those countries, that's not a thing at all. And here you come as a very well-educated, well-read, well-spoke woman to cultures that you're lucky that if she can write her own name on a check, if she needs to. How is that for men in those cultures? Do you see a lot of like effects of like, they're intimidated by you or aggressive towards you or anything?
Good question. I feel lucky that I haven't experienced aggression or I feel like whenever I've traveled, people have just been so kind and friendly and really welcoming. Full disclosure, I had a trouble in the ocean yesterday. I feel like I nearly drowned. Holy cow. And then like these Indonesian men, okay, like I'm still processing because it just happened yesterday. And I just wrote, like talked about it on my podcast yesterday. And I was like, wait, I'm not sure if I should share this yet unprocessed. But and I was just like, I just feel, yeah. So like the waves were just crazy. Like people were surfing, but then like the current, I just couldn't get back to the shore. And so I started yelling for help. And then these two Indonesian men just like rushed towards to help me. And then they were so sweet. And like after, like they brought a surfboard because even like, without the surfboard, we all couldn't make it back to shore. And it was like, it was crazy. It like so crazy. And then afterwards, like they brought me water and asked if I was okay. So I just was like, oh, that's, I've only had, you know, like people being really helpful and going out of their way. I mean, but yes, but going back real quick on like the inequality, yes, that's why I have done volunteer talks or just help out whenever I could in Thailand, where I spent most of my time so far in Southeast Asia. At least I spent a total of 8 months there because I kept going back. I gave 2 talks, one to like the girls in a Buddhist temple where I stayed for a couple of weeks about learning about your body and like everything and any questions they had about sex. And then another one for like, the teenage girls at a children's home, like an NGO center, where they were, these were uneducated, like people from the mountains who lived 3 hours away. And they, someone of a lovely soul created this housing where they could go to public schools in the city temporarily, but then the girls inevitably, one or two would get pregnant, or actually two or three would get pregnant every summer and need to drop out. So they were like, Tony, is there any way you can give them a talk or teach them how to better protect themselves? And I was like, I'd be glad to. So I do that. And yeah, so I try to help out in whatever way I can. I talk to the locals. Sometimes there's a language barrier, but it's just like, hey, if there's anything I can do. And then here in Bali, I'm waiting to hear back from someone who works with a cancer, children with cancer, and how like we can use art therapy in some way to help give them more hope, and maybe even like comics, like draw yourself as the hero of your life and, you know, like overcoming all your issues as the villain. So yeah, I just feel like, I mean, maybe it's bad to have so many passions, but I just feel like it, whatever way I can help out, and I'm just one person. And so that's why I'm like, I also want to make more online courses that can just be accessible to anyone in any country for any price, like a dollar, you know, just if you need to, because I feel like, will people hear about it if it's free? But like, still, it's like, I just believe so much in doing what I can in the short amount of time I have alive to make a difference somehow.
You are, listen, this is for you. I don't know if it'll come through well.
You know, I got tiger blood, man.
You got tiger blood. You are amazing. Like just hearing you, like I'm inspired listening to what you're saying. Like the fact that you just like, listen, most of us, we have the typical American dreams of everything your mother told you to go do. And you kind of went and said, not today, maybe down the road. And now Cody wants to be your new best friend, 'cause she wants to go save orangutans in Thailand with you. And, she's got a new t-shirt for you to help these girls out. You're going to get them t-shirts that say, my vagina is terrifying, and hopefully that'll keep men away. Hashtag my vagina is terrifying.
Yes. I'll draw it with the teeth too.
Oh, that's perfect. That won't be scary at all.
That's the perfect t-shirt. Yeah. Like teeth on the back.
That's it. It says my vagina is terrifying. So, oh my God. I don't even know what was started here today. So, you know, but you also deal with giving people like a real voice and a slice of self-love, you call it. Self-love, I think has had a lot of iterations as a term, but how are you nailed it? Anti-getting laid t-shirt. We just put my face there, Cody. Nobody's bothering you then. But what does that mean for you when you're talking about giving people a real voice and a slice of self-love? What does that mean for you?
Yeah, I think self-love, I mean, there's so many ways it can present, right? But yeah, I think you know, because a lot of people think self-love is, I'm just self-care, right? I'm gonna pamper myself, I'm gonna, you know, treat myself to good food and massages, exactly, and whatnot. Like, I think it goes so much deeper than that. It's like when you use your voice, like the self-love truly, like when you inside it out, like down to the core, is like you know who you are deeply and you can express that. It's just your fullest expression. You can advocate for yourself and your values when someone doesn't treat you right or crosses your boundary or something. Then you can just say that, like just in a loving, respectful way, but still like just knowing yourself, advocating for yourself is a big piece of that. And I think also checking in with yourself too, like not being mean to yourself, self-compassion. It's like before, it's like the inner critic from my tiger parents. Yeah. You internalize. So many people do. They just like, they're so hard on themselves. They're just like, oh, I messed that up. And they're like replaying the mistakes or what they should have done instead, like way later, like sometimes even months later. And it's like, no, it's like understanding, okay, I'm human. I tried my best, or I had limited knowledge, and like, I forgive myself. I'm going to move on and I'm going to focus on what I can do now in the present and even the future. And just, yeah, being fully alive, fully present to your life and fully enjoying it. There's so many layers to it. Yeah. What was I going to say? Oh yeah. So like, just, and knowing your needs and right, just gosh, sorry, I lost my train of thought, but
it's all right. Yeah, well, just, I was gonna ask you, is there anything that you, when you're doing these things or when you're doing your podcast, and in a minute here, I want you to tell everybody when they can see your podcast, how often are you putting it out there? But is there any type of mantras? Like, I've seen plenty of stuff online where people are like, take 25 deep breaths. And I've done this, take 25 breaths, you know, yoga style breaths, and then let those out. And then look in the mirror and tell yourself, I love you 10 times in the mirror, and giving yourself these type of things. But has there been any techniques that have helped you or anything that you've used that you would say, like, hey, if you're in this position, start here. This is your baby step to move forward, even getting away from that tiger parent mentality.
Oh, there are so many. It's hard to just suggest one. One of them that I like is, like, when you wake up, just saying thank you 10 times, just like,
really?
Again, reminding yourself.
Do you look in the mirror? Do you look in the mirror when you do it, or you just say it out loud?
No, I say it out loud in bed. But I think, like, these things, different things work for different people. Like, I tried a lot and I was just like, ooh, that feels cheesy. That feels inauthentic to me. You know, like, it's,
I know what you mean.
Yeah, that works for you. I mean, I like, and this is sounds super cheesy too, but, like, yeah, just making a list of, like, oh, I like that quote, like, you've survived 100% of your worst days. You're doing great. So it's just, that. Yeah, I think, like, something that's, like, real and not, like, the airy fairy, like, usual self-love thing. Like, it's the ones that really hit deep for me. Yeah. And so it's like, I write a list and sometimes I print it out and I keep it with me, just like all the shit that I've gone through, right? Like all the things we've overcome, and, like, yeah. And all the reasons, like, just because when we're in these crazy, like, you know, emotional flashbacks from complex PTSD, that's right. What they are. Like, you just feel as helpless and powerless as you did when you were a child, and you forget all of the wonderful things about you. And so if you have a list, you just remind yourself, like, oh wait, yeah, this is why I don't suck. Like, this is good. So if you are deep in it, it depends on where you are too, but if you're, like, beating yourself up every day, then yeah, like, just start with that. Like, just really reflect back on your life, no matter where you are, even if you feel like I've accomplished nothing. Like, I bet we can find something. And if you want, like, I do a free first session or donations-based first session. So anyone can talk to me if they're just like, I don't know what's good about me. Oh, right. So my website, drtooni.com, drtooni.com. And you can send me a message there. You can book a call. You can email me, social media. There's lots of ways. My podcast is pretty new. I'm trying to stick with it weekly, but it's only been, like, you know, 17 episodes so far. I always liked writing more than speaking, but I'm leaning more into that. So I welcome guest speakers too. I'd love to have you if you'd like on the podcast. I alternate, like, a solo versus a guest episode every other week.
Listen, if you've made it to 17 episodes, you've passed the hump on podcasting, if you didn't know that. The hump
really?
Is 10.
Okay.
The hump is 10, because most people get into podcasting, you're like,
yeah, so I'm going to get into this podcasting thing. I'm going to do, like, I figure after my third episode, I should be getting like $1,000 to $2,000 a week, because I'm pretty interesting as a person. And they hit that 10 and they realize, wait a second, I've got a plan for every episode. And a lot of us make the big mistake is, and I did it when I first started, oh, I need to edit this. I need to clean it up. I need to do all. How you and I are talking right now is exactly how this episode is going to go out. I don't play with
same,
it.
Same. I don't edit. Yeah.
None
all about
of
being real and authentic. Yeah.
And Cody said, self-love is running naked in the woods without a care in the world. And all the stuff she said, 100%. So look, folks, we're getting ready to close up the bar here. I would be wrong, Dr. Tooni, because Nate jumped off here. He didn't stick around. That's not surprising. He probably trying to figure out next year's fantasy football draft, but I would be wrong if I didn't go ahead. So, world traveler that you are, I have some places on my bucket list that I want to go to eat. And I already told you, some of them are scare my American flora and fauna in my belly. There's a little chubby kid that lives in my soul. So I got to ask you, so far in your 5 years of travel, give me the best street food and the best restaurant food that you've had. I need both.
Oh man, on the spot. I have 15 seconds. I can't.
Let's do that, Tony. You got all the time you need.
Okay. Oh, really? Okay. We don't have to. Yeah.
Like, I don't have to stop exactly at an hour, but I want to know, like, what's your best street food and your best, like, restaurant sit down food? Like, what country does, like, people like, hey, look, if you're into this scene, you got to go.
Okay. Well, it's interesting because, like, Bali so far does have, like, so many. It's got, like, almost LA vibes, California vibes. There's, like, vegan, avocado. There's, like, such fancy schmancy restaurants in one area particularly. Yeah, I was surprised. I was like, this is not what I was expecting here. The street food is delicious too, but I liked the street food in Penang, Malaysia a lot, and also the street food in Thailand. Like, I mean, maybe because I spent a lot of time in Thailand, 8 months in Chiang Mai. And then there was, like, a really great restaurant. I'll send you the name because I got to look it up, but it was a 3-course meal, delicious, like the best salmon dish that I've had in a long time for only $30, like tax, everything included. Like, it is crazy. And that's how affordable things are.
So, you know, where I'll tell you one of the places for me that I want to go to for street food, and this is only because other Marines said it was amazing, is I want to go to the Philippines.
Oh, yeah, I've been there. Yeah,
and did you try balut?
Balut,
no, balut is the Balut is the duck eggs, and they have 7-day, 14-day, and 21-day balut. I had a Marine I worked with, and he was like, Gunny, you got to try it. And I'm like, what are you talking? And he explained it to me, like, it's the fermentation, and, like, he's like, it's the soup on the top. And I'm like, I want it, but I love Filipino food. Like, I'll be honest with you, any Asian cuisine, you got me. And I kind of like it, but I debate it between Asian and Turkish. I guess that would be considered what would that be considered? I can't think of the right term, but I love Turkish food. Have you ever had Turkish?
Turkish food is delicious. I haven't been to Turkey yet, though, but just never been whatever restaurant. Yeah.
I've been to, like, Spain. I've been to Italy. I've been to Sicily. I've been to Greece. Euros in Greece are like a dollar, and
so good.
And they're like nothing. Like, it's just meat and a little bit of tzatziki, and they're not like, they don't look like a hoagie. It's just this little tiny thing, and you just, like, they're like great bar food. Yeah, absolutely. So, Dr. Tony, tell everybody where they can find you if they're looking for you.
Yeah, I'm on several places. Instagram, Facebook at drtooney.com, LinkedIn is just Tony Liu. You could search and find me. My website and blog, I got a lot on there. There's, like, you know, women's health education handouts about things. Like, I turned the STDs, the sexually transmitted infections, into villains. So each one's like a cartoon villain. I turned that into a coloring book. And that's probably, like, that's,
please tell me what the villain for syphilis looks like. What does gonorrhea look like as a villain?
Yeah. So they try to teach you something about them. So the syphilis one is like a mind control.
Okay. Neurosyphilis.
Neurosyphilis. Exactly. Oh, that's great. You've heard about it. Yeah. Cause that's like, you need to treat this shit. Cause if it gets worse, it, like, yeah, messes with your brain. So yeah, that's kind of, yeah. I want it to be educational and fun. Gonorrhea, I'm still working on it right now. He's
just runs around clapping at people. Gonorrhea's just got to be this villain that every time you do something, it just claps at you. It just keeps clapping at you.
That's a good one. Yeah. The clap. Right.
It just goes around and you never know it's there. You know what it is? It's this villain that causes paranoia that every time you do something, you just start hearing. And you're like, what?
Oh, that's good.
Who's clapping at me?
Oh, my gosh.
And the villain's just back here clapping until it drives you absolutely mad.
That's so good. Wow. Thank you, Sean. Okay. I need to make, like, more version 2. And yeah, I'll put your name on the version 2 of the book.
That would be the second comic book I'm in. I am in another comic book from a buddy of mine. So look, now, Dr. Tony, this is like episode 226 or 227. I got to look it up. And I know you've binged all of them. We were talking about it before the show. You've binged everything I've ever done. you're very into the Above the Bar podcast. I know that. So you know what's coming up. So I'll throw this out to you, and don't log off on me after we're done. We just got to talk for a minute after the show. As we do at the end of every single episode, the guest always gets the final word. So Dr. Tony, what's the final word?
Ooh, thank you. I have so many messages, but I guess the final word is, yeah, like, I know it sounds cheesy, but like, you truly, you're fantastic. You are worthy no matter what, like what your authentic dreams are. Like nobody's got the craziness that is you, right? Like nobody's got your unique, everything you want. Like that deserves to come out. Like no matter what anyone else tells you, no matter what your past is like, no matter how much people try to keep you small or down or change, or like, even if they feel like it's for your own good, like, no, you deserve to expand and like fully be your weirdest, wackiest self. And truly there's so much to you, and you just, yeah, you gotta unlock it. I guess it's just a message that you don't have to achieve anything. Like your worth is 100%. You don't need to do X, Y, Z. Like your worth is who you are, not what you do. So that's the whole message of my podcast too. Accept yourself first, accept everything. Then you can achieve naturally from a place of like your fullest expression, your fullest cup, rather than from a place of not feeling enough or self-judgment or anything like that.
Alrighty, folks, be sure to push your stool in. This has been a Second Front podcast presentation, found on Apple, Spotify, and wherever podcasts can be found.